This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going right along in the 8 o'clock hour here on a gloomy day. It's kind of gnarly looking outside.
I thought it was supposed to be sunny out today. It looks sunny in the other side of the building, and now we're looking at clouds.
So. I can't believe it's not butter.
You playing golf?
Yeah. 4 o'clock. The weather is all south, so I don't think it's going to rain today. But, man, it was dumping at like 1:30 this morning when I got to use the old men's room or the bathroom, I guess you say.
These days. You're playing at 1:30? It'll be dry by then. You'll be
4 o'clock.
Oh, you're playing golf at 4 o'clock?
Yeah, got up at 1 o'clock this morning to use the restroom, and it sounded like somebody was just, like, pouring down, like just buckets of water.
Can you get 18 in starting that late?
Yeah, for sure, because there probably won't be a ton of people out because it'll be cart path only, so a bunch of the, you know, guys that have to be, you know, right next to the ball every time will definitely be like, oh, I'm not playing if it's cart path only. Okay, fine.
Really? And you're that lazy? I hate to be that way, but, like, that's lazy.
Oh, yeah. Tons of people like that. It's 4 o'clock. So, like, everybody's like, yeah, Tuesday's normally like a night for leagues.
Yeah.
So a lot of leagues are going around the metro area. So, yeah, you get on at 4. We're done normally by about 7:30.
Mm-hmm.
And then sunset's about 7:50 to 8 o'clock-ish in that window. So hopefully we're done well before that. But we will have the opportunity to see if one man can get it to 20 games because he currently sits at 19. And Mark DeRosa, the manager of the United States World Baseball Classic roster, had this to say about one Bobby Witt Jr.
What did his start look like last year compared to this year? What is he do? What is he hammering during this 19-game hit streak? I mean, it's everything. So let's get into it. Let's give him some love. Hopefully don't jinx him. He's too good to be jinxed. And the way his body moves, like I said, if I'm starting a franchise today, give me number 7 from the Kansas City Royals. He's showing up every day to be the greatest player that this game's ever seen.
The greatest player that this game has ever seen.
Hyperbolic or
today?
Pump the brakes?
Yeah. Absolutely. Today, yes. Yeah, absolutely. Is he on pace to be in the conversation? You bet. Yeah. But he's got to do it for, what, 20 years in baseball, right?
Fair.
I mean, I don't know what the
20 is a stretch. I would say 10 to 15.
Yeah, I don't think 10's enough, though. I mean, you look at some of these guys. Now, money's different today, right? Like, Bobby Witt doesn't need to play more than 10 years to be set for life and to set his family up for generations, obviously, right? So it's a little bit different than it was, you know, back in the day when people start talking about the greatest baseball players of all time. Most of them came in the 60s and Willie Mays and guys like that. They didn't make any money, so they played a lot longer to continue to get that check and to continue to play baseball and to continue to have a great job. But Bobby Witt Jr., the money doesn't need to be there, obviously, because he's making the big check right now. So I don't know, 10 years, 15 years to become in that conversation of the greatest of all time. I think in baseball, it's a lot different and it's a lot harder to be considered the greatest of all time in baseball than it is in the NBA or the NFL at this point in time, because the NBA and the NFL seemingly are continuing to evolve, and we want there to be who's the next Michael Jordan, who's going to be better than Michael Jordan. We have wanted LeBron to take that, and he hasn't been able to take that. Anthony Edwards probably will not be that guy. I don't think playing in Minnesota lends itself right now to that. He may have to bounce around, get to a New York or an LA or a place like that to really get that spotlight. So I think in basketball, we're trying to force somebody to be the greatest. We have that conversation daily. Mm-hmm. We have the conversation in the NFL daily as well. Who's the greatest of all time when it comes to the quarterbacks, right? We're trying to see if anybody's ever going to be able to replace Tom Brady. We hope Patrick Mahomes can be that guy. We don't really have that conversation in baseball of who the greatest of all time is. Because I think up until the last couple of years, anyway, everybody just said, well, it's Babe Ruth. The guy could pitch and the guy could hit. There's really no argument there. And for about a century, people were right about that, right? Because he did both. Now you've got Shohei Ohtani doing both at a time when it's much harder and much more difficult to be a productive player. He's doing both. You got Bobby Witt doing his thing. Mm-hmm. But in baseball, for whatever reason, we never, ever talk about who's going to be the next greatest player of all time. We've just grandfathered in guys like Babe Ruth and Willie Mays and Joe DiMaggio and whoever else played back in the day, and we've never opened ourselves up to the conversation. Maybe it's a big reason why baseball has never been able to take that next step for a lot of people in their eyes of like, we've never been able to say this could be the next great baseball player. Like, that debate has never happened, who the next great baseball player is or who is the greatest of all time, because we've all just given it to Babe Ruth and they go, he pitched and hit and led baseball in home runs for 1,000 years until Bonds showed up. And everybody's like, yeah, you're right, fine, move on. And there's no, like, there's just no, never been an argument about that.
I think the problem with baseball is that it's gone through so many of like distrust situations.
Well, yes.
Right? Like, it's had, you know, the league where like African American people weren't allowed to play. Then Jackie Robinson comes in. It's a new
era. But
that
was every sport.
I understand. But every sport wasn't like at their peak. Like, football got popular in the 80s, I would say. Or started to get popular like the late 70s when the Steelers were going through their runs.
Look, I think football really got popular. I think you were right. I think it's the late 80s, early 90s. And then the baseball strike hit in 94 and football took off and has never looked back.
Right. And the NBA was thriving in the late 80s and the mid 90s. Mm-hmm. So when baseball goes away in 94 and Michael Jordan and Chicago Bulls are on the second leg of their three-peat, the second one, that's where basketball was thriving. Mm-hmm. Baseball was on a strike and football was gearing up with the, you know, the trademark of America's team in the Dallas Cowboys. Everybody was, you know, everybody knew who that team was. Everybody knew who Troy Aikman, Michael Irvin, Emmitt Smith were. They knew who Leon Lett was. They knew who Barry Switzer was.
94 was past their prime, though.
And so, like, I think that, like, that football really had, like, one strong push to start, and it really hasn't dipped yet. Like,
right.
Football is just continuing to go up the Price is Right mountain. Whereas baseball has been up, then it was down, then it was up, then it was down, then it was an era, then it wasn't, then it was the live ball era, then it wasn't, then it was the steroid era, then it wasn't. And so that kind of hurts when you have different superstars in different eras during different circumstances of the game. Whereas, like, you know, for 10 years, we saw Mike Trout play. And then for like the last six, we haven't seen him play because he's been hurt.
Right.
Now he's back hitting home runs at a very rapid pace. I think he has 9 on the year. He's one behind the lead in the American League. And granted, only hitting like 190, but again, batting averages are dead. So again, you go back to that exact same thing. Did that guy hit 55 home runs in a season but only hit 250? Yes. Did this guy back then, named Tony Gwynn, who was so good at seeing baseballs, they didn't even make him do the eye test at the DMV? Like, yeah, Tony Gwynn today would be just like, he'd be Luis Arraez. Like, he doesn't move the needle.
Right.
But you know who does? Aaron Judge. And I think it's interesting because when we look at the NFL and you talk about players, and Bobby Wood Jr. will come back in this conversation, you look at the NFL and you ask, every single franchise, all 32 franchises in the NFL, or all 30, and you're like, start a franchise today, name one player. Every single team should tell you Patrick Mahomes. And if they don't, they're a liar.
Yeah,
I don't care what
anybody
says.
If you're Buffalo and you think Josh Allen is good or you got Joe Burrow. Or,
you can't do that in baseball with Bobby Witt Jr. Now, I think more than half of the franchises would be like, give me Bobby. But I think everybody would say Shohei Ohtani. If not, Bobby Witt Jr. There will be a lot of Aaron Judges.
I think it would be fun to do a survey of the 30 GMs in baseball and say, if you could start a franchise, what player you're taking, and see how many of them say Shohei Ohtani. I think you'd be close to an overwhelming majority. I think it would be a clean sweep of Shohei Ohtani.
It's the Mahomes effect of taking the best player available of a fantasy draft. Like, if you were to go to Cincinnati and be like, I know you loved your Joe Burrow, but you have the first pick of any player available, you are turning cloak and going straight to Mahomes. If you're the Jets, if you're the Giants, if you're the Dolphins, if you're the Rams,
it doesn't matter.
Every team unanimously should, and they probably would, take Patrick Mahomes. Now, where you look at baseball and you say, okay, Bobby Witt Jr., Aaron Judge, Shohei Ohtani, you'd probably get 10 that would say Bobby Witt Jr. because they would defend it. They'd say he's going to play every day. He's a five-tool player. And he wins. Okay, cool. You look at Aaron Judge. You'd be like, semi five-tool player. Doesn't really run a whole lot anymore, but does the other four tools very well.
Mm-hmm.
Better than anybody else in the game. It's fun to watch.
And man's then hitting 400 and hitting home runs. It's pretty good.
And knocking runs in and doing the average. Yeah, like you said. So the thing with Aaron Judge, like, it's there. And then you would look at Shohei Ohtani and be like, wait a minute. So, like, the best hitter in the game and one of the top five best pitchers in the game, and I can have him on my team? And he's going to also pitch every fifth day, and he's also going to probably play every day as well. Yeah, Ohtani would be out of 32.
No, 30.
Out of 30, I think 25 would say Ohtani.
See, I think it would be a straight 30. I really do.
I would hope, and I love Bobby Witt Jr. I think Bobby Witt Jr. is great. He's not, it's not his time yet, if that makes any sort of sense.
He's like, to use a bad example, he's Joe Burrow or Josh Allen in the Mahomes era right now, because he's always battling Shohei Ohtani or Aaron Judge.
I would almost put it, similar. Mahomes has a lot more time left. I would almost put it as he's in the Kobe role to Jordan. Like, the others know. Like, Judge, I'm sure Judge and Bobby are on a text line with each other. They're like, hey, man, saw you do that. Like, whatever it may be.
Right.
And I'm sure Ohtani's got an interpreter that, like, stays in the loop with other guys as well that's not gambling. But I think that, like, with Mahomes, there's still possibly 10 years left of him being in the NFL, 7 of which where he could be dominant.
Mm-hmm.
Bobby Witt Jr., to your credit, you would say 10 to 15.
Yeah.
Judge, maybe 5. Ohtani, I don't know. I always say that time is undefeated. And eventually Ohtani, I don't know off the top of my head how old he is, but eventually it's going to come down to, like, he's just a DH.
Well, he had 6 years in Anaheim, right? Roughly.
Something tells me he's like 32.
Yeah, I was going to say early 30s for Ohtani.
The
right?
clock on Judge and Ohtani is shorter than what the clock is on Mahomes.
Mm-hmm.
But what's different is that, like, Mahomes should be and probably is unanimous the number one player anyone in the NFL would take. Whereas, like, Bobby Witt Jr. is not him now, but if you have this conversation in 3 years, it's still Mahomes, and now it's Bobby.
It may be, depending on what Shohei Ohtani and Aaron Judge do, because they're always going to be in that conversation. And that's what's good for baseball. Like, having this conversation, baseball should be sitting there with tight pants on going, oh, wow, we're having a conversation of who the best player is in the game. In the NFL, it is unanimous. Like, every GM in the NFL should be taking Patrick Mahomes. In baseball, you have a debate on who you could take, right? If you have, if you are starting a franchise in Major League Baseball and you have one of the top 3 picks, you're getting a home run, lock, stock, barrel, guaranteed winner, home run player on your team. Whether you take Ohtani, whether you take Judge, or whether you take Bobby Witt. In the NFL, that's not necessarily the case. It's a home run with Patrick Mahomes, and then it's everybody else is kind of thrown into that category.
Yeah, I mean, I think to give it a comparison, I think that if, like, you took Judge and Ohtani off the board and Bobby Witt Jr. was the next one, I think everybody would still be, you know, flabbergasted and amazed. Just like if you took Mahomes off, I think anybody would be like, I can choose Allen or Burrow. I mean, I'll take my chances.
I'll take Shador.
Yeah, well, that would take a while. But no, I think it, and I think the other thing that's great about it too is you have Bobby Witt Jr. in a category, in a conversation where you have an international superstar in Shohei Ohtani who plays for the, I don't know, Dodgers.
Yeah.
And then you have Aaron Judge who is an international superstar because he plays for the Yankees.
Right.
And then it's Bobby Witt Jr. in Kansas City.
Right.
So it's really
how
nice.
How do we get him to be that international superstar, right? Let's start playing some of those games overseas. You're not going to be before long before you see the Royals playing over there in Europe, right? And have those London games and the Royals exposing Bobby Witt Jr. to a national audience. It's going to happen sooner rather than later.
Keep doing Home Run Derby and keep stealing the show. That's one way to do it. You can do that yourself if you want, but you also need the help of Major League Baseball, which we already talked about as well. We can bring it back up a little bit later. We're coming up, a GM from good to bad to terrible, all in one conversation. Plus, we get to our on the come on the other side here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at TheFan965 for behind-the-scenes content from the show. Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
For this song, speaking of a groove tender, Joshua Briscoe will join the show at about 9:20 today. We'll get his thoughts on the draft. We'll also do start, bench, cut. In this segment, we will get to on the come.
I also want Mac to have his camera on because we're about to drop a truth bomb. I want to see your reaction to this one. If it's as good as DeAndre Hopkins, I told Dusty this in the break, and so he didn't have quite the reaction that I think Mac's going to have on this one. Is your camera on?
It's on. Ready
All right,
to go.
The odds for Giannis's next team.
Okay. Give me
Brooklyn Nets.
Oh, come on.
Worked out the last time they did something like this.
Because they need that franchise to
they
win.
Need to do something.
They do. He should go to the Knicks.
Yeah, exactly. Go to the Knicks.
Seriously,
with Jalen Brunson.
Go to the Knicks.
Oh, that'd be so much fun. It'd be great for the
Trade
NBA.
Trade for Karl-Anthony Towns.
Juan Soto to the Mets. No one cares.
Right, exactly, because the Mets are irrelevant, just like the Nets and the Jets.
Why would he want to do that? Giannis.
Cash.
On. Yeah, money.
That's the thing. Like he did everything won. He was supposed to do at the age of like 23.
I know that. He won in Milwaukee.
It's crazy.
Got paid, man.
Got paid. Yep. He's won an MVP. He's kind of done a lot.
How big of a star would he be, though, if he went to the Knicks? Not Brooklyn, but he went to the Knicks and won a championship there?
That would be unreal.
Well, he'd do something that nobody's done in 60 years.
I mean, we wouldn't. I don't think we'd seen anything like that if the Knicks won a championship.
I'd be going to the Lakers.
Oh, come on. Just build a super team.
Yeah.
Luka, LeBron, Giannis. That'd be fun.
Or
LeBron, probably the worst of that three.
Well, he would be.
Like, who's more compelling this offseason to watch following the NBA? Giannis or the Joker?
Giannis, because The Nuggets are more fascinating to see what they're doing, but they're going to keep Jokic.
Giannis is going to move. I mean, that's why the NBA offseason is great. Stars move, mm-hmm. man, and people get excited about it, and they don't drag their feet. July 1st, the trade deadline stuff starts, right? The free agency period starts. July 2nd, it's over.
Exactly. That's
great. That's outstanding. That's awesome. The way you want it, man. You want to do it that way.
It's like the mini peanut butter fluffer.
Yeah. Quick and to the point and get it done.
And then it's
and you're
over.
Satisfied.
But I mean, baseball, I mean, it takes forever for free agents to sign in baseball. And Scott Boras sucks. And he just drags his feet and hurts the whole market and then takes away the excitement of the offseason. I mean, everybody loves the offseason. Look, the NFL offseason is phenomenal. The NBA offseason for the 2 days that it goes on is great because people are moving all over the place and kind of doing their thing. People love that kind of stuff. So I think, you know, for Giannis to be a free agent, you don't have to be an NBA fan to realize one of the great superstars in American sports is going to be on the move this offseason. And if the NBA really wants to do it right, you send him to New York.
Yeah, they're.
I agree.
They're LA.
That'd be fun. That'd be awesome. That's exactly what the NBA needs.
They do.
Every series in the NBA is at 3-1, except the Clippers and the Nuggets. That is 2-2
tonight.
Yep. So
great series.
So Golden State they'll get housed, right, by Minnesota because they're just not physical. Minnesota's big.
I don't think they'll get housed, but it'll be a tough matchup for them. They have no one to really guard Steph Curry.
No one does.
Yeah, exactly. No one does.
Boston's going to take care of business against the Magic. Then they're going to play the Knicks. That's the best series in the next round. Indiana-Cleveland.
I think that's going to be great.
I bet you do. I bet you do. Oklahoma City versus the Nuggets. That's what we're hoping for.
That is going to be I'm open for the Clippers. I don't think the Nuggets stand a chance against the Thunder. I think they get housed.
Way to go, LeBron and Luka. We could have had Golden State versus the Lakers. And then the other side of the East bracket, we could have had Knicks and Celtics. But we can't.
Yep, can't do it.
Can't hack it anymore. All right. Anyways. So we played the audio yesterday. Shall we play it again of Mr. Bean trashing the radio host?
No, it was. It was. I was just listening to the last few minutes of your show before I came on, waiting on here.
All right.
Sounds like 2018 all over with you guys.
Well, we're very... How so?
Well, you guys were bitching in 2018 about Josh Allen. You guys wanted Josh Rosen, and now you guys are bitching that we don't have a receiver. I don't get it. Like, we just scored... Hold on, let me talk. Scored 30 points in a row for 8 straight games. A year ago, I get you guys asking why we didn't have receivers, but I don't understand it now. You just saw us lead the league in points when you add all the postseason. No one scored more points than the Buffalo Bills, including the Super Bowl champions. So you just saw us do it without Stephon Diggs, same group. How is this group not better than last year's group? Like, our job is to score points and win games. Where do we need to get better? Defense. We did that. So I get it. You got to have a show, and you got to have something to bitch about. But bitching about wide receiver is one of the dumbest arguments I've heard.
Okay. And so he's defensive, obviously, for a reason. You look at the list of wide receivers in Buffalo, right? We did that yesterday. Not a lot of good players on that list. But what you miss is the second part of that conversation where I'm actually like, you know what? I actually support Brandon Bean on this one as well. He went on to say, I get it. I'm just like, let's be realistic, Bean continued. Our job, it's not fantasy football to trot out the best receivers. You got Josh Allen. First thing you got to do is protect him. You can't have everything. You can't have Pro Bowl wide receivers and a Pro Bowl offensive line and an all-pro quarterback and 3 great running backs. You got to pick. Sure, I'd love to play fantasy football, but there's one football, Jeremy. There's one ball. You can't give it to so many people. And so I hear that part of the conversation, and I'm like, he's absolutely right about that. That is, in my opinion, the right way to build a football team. You've got a superstar quarterback. You've got to allow that guy to elevate those around him. It's what the New England Patriots did for 20 years with Tom Brady for the most part, right? Yes, a Randy Moss was mixed in. That was their Stephon Diggs. Yes, a Gronk was mixed in at the end. That's our Travis Kelce, right? You ultimately, though, have said, we've got a superstar quarterback. We're paying that guy. Therefore, there's going to be other things we can invest in. And that's just the way it goes in the NFL. And they've chosen to invest in their offensive line. They're now choosing to invest in defense, which is something that's been lacking on them. If you're a Buffalo fan, you'd rather have them spend money on the defensive side of the football and invest on that side of the football, because that's what's cost you. The offense has yet to cost Buffalo in anything. It's always been about their defense. And so I listen to those hosts and I appreciate where they're coming from, but they're also looking at it in a fantasy football lens. And that's just not the way NFL teams operate. They just don't do it that way. And when you have that star quarterback, it's time for those guys to be elevated by that quarterback.
You know, we do it here too, right? We say, oh, Hollywood Brown's our third wide receiver. Who else is behind him? People would kill to have three guys that good, or we don't really have that RB1. Well, you've got three or four dudes who are more than competent and can take the football field. So it's easy to say, this isn't as good as my Madden team or my fantasy football draft, but you're right. He's building a football team. I think Brandon Bean's on a hot seat. I haven't loved all of his moves over the past few years, but I think he's right in this situation.
Yeah, he's definitely right. And if you're an NFL GM and you try to run your franchise like a fantasy team, you're going to fail. You just can't do it that way. It's not about putting up fantasy numbers. And fantasy has been great for the popularity of the NFL. Gambling has been good for the popularity of the NFL. I think we're getting to a point now where fans are getting too upset over the bets that they're losing at times, and they need to chill out a little bit in all that kind of stuff. But I think what we're looking at is a view of football right now that's coming from the fantasy football guy. We had somebody text in about, like, yeah, Patrick Mahomes.
They got the words confused.
Wouldn't be the first pick in the fantasy draft. Well, we're not playing fantasy football here. And you have to stop viewing football from the fantasy football lens. You have to view it from the lens of a guy who has a salary cap, a roster, and, you know, other things to manage other than just putting up all kinds of crazy points. And Buffalo has put up those points. I think they're fine on offense. I really do. They've done a nice job on offense. Josh Allen has elevated those guys to a different level. Buffalo's problem has been stopping the opposition on defense, mm-hmm, and then asking Josh Allen to go score 40 a game, or Joe Burrow this year to go score 40 a game, right? Eventually, your defense has to step up and play. And if you don't have those guys on the defensive side because you invested everything on the offensive side, it's 2018 Kansas City all over again.
Do you think is Cook still not signed from Buffalo?
James Cook? I mean, he's still on that rookie deal.
Contract.
Yeah, he's still leaning towards holding out until he gets paid, right?
I haven't heard that. He's going to hold out? He's not going to show up?
Well, I mean, he's just not been very, cooperative with the team.
Yeah, yeah, no, Dusty's right. Yeah, this guy's been bitching and moaning the entire offseason. Like, unfollowed people off of Instagram.
I do remember the unfollowing. Yeah,
there was also his house was up for sale, or he was looking for a house somewhere else.
Yeah.
But you know how we do these things.
Yeah.
So I didn't know, because he's a very valuable piece.
They need him.
Yeah, he was kind of the reason why their offense was good last year with Josh Allen. Obviously, I think Josh Allen is a perennial MVP candidate, one of the best quarterbacks in the league. I think he's the second best quarterback in the league, and I think there's a little bit of a gap between him and Burrow and Lamar. That's just my two cents. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm also in the same boat of Jay Binkley on this, because Jay Binkley to this day still is very pissed that Green Bay didn't surround Aaron Rodgers with a bunch of talent. They were like, go win it, go do it, and they didn't. And now we're seeing Josh Allen, who is, yes, very good. I think we're also very, very held captive in the prisoner of the moment that we've seen Mahomes do this. But I also think that we have this conversation all the time that Mahomes is that much better than everybody else.
He is.
Like, Brady's game didn't really elevate to the game that we ever saw until Randy Moss came around in 2007. And then all of a sudden it was like, so this is Tom Brady? No, this is Tom Brady with more talent. Yes, Tom Brady without that big size talent and Randy Moss can still win you games, but it's a little bit easier if you add pieces around him. Again, I don't think the GM's wrong here. I think it's hilarious that he called to a radio show and called people out.
I love it.
Yeah.
I mean, wish Veach and JJ would do that to us.
Right. And
please.
And I just think
you guys are idiots. Yeah. But
again, like fair enough. You look at the Chiefs and it's like that year they went 11-6 and didn't have a whole lot of talent around Mahomes. That was Mahomes at age 28. Like, that doesn't last forever. And I know Josh Allen is, what, the same age or, like, maybe, like, 6 months or maybe a year younger than Mahomes. Uh-huh. But it's like, yeah, that talent's not going to last forever at that level. Like, Mahomes will always be a superstar talent because of what he has and what is between his ears and what's on his arm. But, again, like, I'm glad they now have Rice, Worthy, Brown, Kelsey, sure. And all those guys. I'd be scared to death if we went into this season with Sky Moore, Kadarius Toney, Mecole Hardman.
Oh, you'd be hating life. But of course. It's not like the Chiefs invested money, though, in those positions. They just drafted well. And when it's time to invest money in those positions, bye-bye, and they'll draft again. I mean, they've shown us over the years already, starting with Tyreek, they're not going to invest in that wide receiver position to that kind of dollar like Devontae Adams want, you know, type money or Christian Kirk type money or anything like that. They're probably not going to invest that kind of money into a wide receiver as long as they have Patrick Mahomes. And to their credit, they've done a pretty good job of, you know, drafting wide receivers. Xavier Worthy, Rashee Rice, it's pretty good wide receivers right now. Now, maybe one of those guys gets a little bit of cheddar because the Kelsey money is coming off the books, but they're always going to maintain keeping guys young, keeping guys cheap, and investing where they need to invest. And I still think the biggest investments need to be made on the defensive side of the football.
Time for On the Come, Tuesday at 8:30. A lot of innuendos on this show today.
On the Come.
And?
On the Come.
Maybe three times. It's dark outside. Wake up.
On the Come.
All right, Bob, take it away.
I'm going with Jordan Hudson.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Bill B's girl.
I mean, they're calling her the CEO of his, you know, empire right now. The Bill Belichick Enterprises. They're calling her the COO or CEO of Bill Belichick Enterprises. Wow. She is definitely on the come. That CBS interview was just the beginning of how present she is going to be. It's going to be interesting to see where she is on game day. I don't know if she's going to be on the field next to Bill.
Sidelines? So
that's what I'm saying.
She's going to have a headset?
She's going to have a headset. She's going to be in a booth. She's kind of... cards. I mean, she's in charge.
Yes. She's running
the
show.
She's in charge. Hell and so yeah. I'm interested to see where this thing continues to go with her. Interesting enough to note, her parents own an adult toy shop in Provincetown, Massachusetts. Okay.
Just a random factoid.
Yeah, I was going through her history and, you know, and doing my research on, you know, what exactly is going on here. And the New York Post dropped that one, that her parents own an adult toy shop in Provincetown, Massachusetts. So if you've ever been to P-Town, you know, it's a great place. And so that's what they call it. You've got the opportunity to visit her parents' store up there if you're going up to the Cape for the weekend.
I don't think I will.
I think I'm good. Yeah,
I think I'll stay out of that story.
Interesting. Yeah, there's some definite conspiracies.
Not expecting that.
No, I wasn't either.
I saw Jordan Hudson and did not see anything after that. And then we got novelty owners. I mean, that man Colin Cowherd yesterday called her his PR agent.
That's something similar.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's like
one can talk to him without
her
approval.
Are they actually are they platonic or are they like in a romantic relationship? I'm dead serious.
I mean,
have you
the
seen
Instagram...
him kiss in public?
No, but like his arms around her.
Yeah, I have a girlfriend that's a friend of mine that I would put my arm around.
No, but the hand placement looks
lower hip.
Lower hip.
Okay.
I don't know.
Are they actually?
Are you doing airplanes with your friend that's a girl on the beach?
If she wanted to. Maybe he's friend zoned.
Maybe he's friend zoned.
Like, that's what I'm wondering. Because she didn't want to answer the question.
What's
how they
in
met.
It for him?
An agent in college sports that he doesn't have to worry about because the NFL, he had to do everything. And now he's like, I don't want to do that anymore. Oh, you're willing to do that? And you can be like eye candy with me to give me some life and keep me hip with the kids. You could tell me what kids like.
Yeah, but it's not working that way because that interview that he did was just dreadful.
It looked
awful. I mean, she interrupted. He had a hole in his shirt. He looked miserable in that interview. See, it was so bad. CBS didn't even do the second part of it. That was supposed to be a two-part interview, and CBS like, we're not coming back for the second part. Because she, I guess, kept interrupting multiple times, and that's why they left that in there. That wasn't a one-time thing, allegedly. That was like 4, 5, 6 times she kept interrupting the interview, and so that's why they left that in to show this is kind of what we're dealing with right now.
Yeah,
it is. It's very weird, and it's very strange. So you know, Shador, Aaron Rodgers, and Jordan Hudson, man, like those are your three football stories going into the season.
We need
all compelling.
We need week one to get here ASAP.
Yes. Also, the fact that Bill and her never came up with a story of how they met, insane to me.
Well, Bob told you your parents had a novelty shop.
That's true. That's how they met.
How do you know it's not? They won't tell you. So now we've got to, you know, now we've got to just guess.
Speculate.
Everybody thought, I thought we had heard all this already. Like they met on an airplane. He signed the book for her. And that was the beginning of this relationship.
The 30 for 30 on this is going to be electric.
It's going to be awesome.
Who's yours, Mac?
Mine's Jonathan Bassa.
Who?
For the Chiefs. Bassa.
You just talked about him yesterday.
Linebacker.
Bassa.
Yeah, Bassa. Bassa out of Oregon. Linebacker. Yeah.
Mitch said he led the senior game in the huddle. He's kind of like the Will side linebacker.
Yeah,
like
weak side linebacker. Going to kind of take over for Willie Gay. Going to be a guy in coverage that can help
you mean
out.
Jeffrey Bassa?
Jeffrey Bassa. I was like, is it the last? Is it the first name that I got? Hey, this is my guy, Jonathan Bassa.
I love this guy, Jonathan Basso.
Who?
Never heard of him.
It's like Jeffrey. Jared Lorenzen.
I mean, Jonathan Basso's on LinkedIn right now. I can tell you a little bit about him if you want to know.
What's going on with Jonathan?
He can tell you also about, Trevor Lorenzen.
Yeah, exactly. Jared Lorenzen. No, Basso's going to be my guy. I'm going to learn like his first name. Mm-hmm. And, yeah,
that's a good one.
Sideline to sideline linebackers, guys who can cover. Biggest weakness for the Chiefs last year on defense.
Can he run routes? Man, I'm going on the Giants football team.
Ooh.
This is a team that's been a laughingstock the NFL for the last couple of years, and I thought they nailed their draft.
A lot of people did. Yeah.
They got Abdul Carter, where some people will say that, you know, you have to draft. There may not have been any franchise-changing players drafted in this draft. I heard it this morning. I think there was one. I think Abdul Carter could be that guy. Miles Garrett, no matter how you look at it, turned that franchise around in Cleveland. I don't care what anybody has to say about that. They got to the playoffs, and they had the number one defense in the league, and that was because they had Miles Garrett. And when you could apply pressure like that at that sort of rate and be that much better than everybody else, you can change a franchise. And if Abdul Carter can be that guy that we all think that he can be, right? Wanted Lawrence Taylor's number. He's like, nah, man, you ain't getting it. Sorry, ain't happening. Warren Moon was like, Cam Ward, I feel bad for you. You can wear number one. You can be the next guy. That's fine. But Abdul Carter, Jackson Dart, right? First round draft pick.
See you at Applebee's.
They went and got a quarterback. And then they got Cam Scataboo. They got everybody's favorite hero running back. You know that guy's going to run somebody over this year. And Giant Blue. People don't hate the Giants like they hate the Jets. Yeah, they're the annoying cousin sometime, but they had a good draft. They have a quarterback and a quarterback room that is about as interesting as Cleveland's. Right? You got
Tommy Cutlitz. Cleveland takes the cake on this one, though.
Tommy Cutlitz, Jameis Winston, Russell Wilson, Jackson Dart. Joe Flacco, Deshaun Watson, Shador Kenny Sanders, Pickett. Kenny Pickett, and Dylan Gabriel.
Watson, yes!
I mean, what situation would you want to be in?
Neither.
Yeah. Exactly.
Get me out of there.
But the Giants are better off. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I look forward to seeing what they can do in a division where someone else wins it every year. And maybe there's a chance in 2 to 3 years the NFC East can get back to what the NFC East is. Washington's doing their job. Hell, Philadelphia, enough said. Dallas will always be entertaining. And then here's the Giants. Good draft on the come.
Yeah, we'll see. Hopefully it does work out for them. And, you know, Jackson Dart is the real deal. I'd rather have Jackson Dart be the real deal than Abdul Carter, quite honestly. Because if you don't have a quarterback, it doesn't matter who you're playing on defense. And Lawrence Taylor is right. Pick a new number and make that one famous. Like, this is a bad situation to put these greats in. Why are we unretiring numbers? These guys busted their ass to get their number retired, and now because we got a new generation, we're just supposed to unretire numbers? Nah. Pick your own number, go out there, and make that number special.
S-A-W-F-T. Soft. That's what some people would say. Coming up on the other side.
Who is?
Well, I'm just saying, like, people think that this generation is soft. That's, like, kind of the theory of, like, get your own number.
I mean,
love the homage of the number. Like, I think it's great that CeeDee Lamb rocks 88 in Dallas. That's just me, though. I think it's cool that Warren Moon's like, hey, Cam Ward, here you go.
And then Lawrence Taylor says, go make your own number, and everybody's like, you know, it's a lose-lose situation for him. I worked my ass off. I got this number retired because of what I did. Why should I unretire it for you? You haven't done anything yet. In this league.
I think people hate it because it gets taken out of context.
I don't think that he's coming across as like a jerk, being like, get your own number, loser.
I don't think he's coming across as a jerk either.
But that's how it's reported, is that that's how he's saying it, where it's like, I respect you coming after, you know, 56 and ask me, but you know what? I think you're a stud. I think you can make your own number famous.
Go get 59 and make that famous. But the way that
people report is like, make your own number, geek. Be your own hero. It's like, that's not how he said it.
No, Lawrence Taylor probably said it, you know, drinking or, you know, doing something else.
Hitting the slopes.
You know, and probably said, hey, you know, great, I'm glad he wants to wear my number, but go get your own number, man. Make that famous.
Yeah. And then there's Johnny Bassa. Is that his name? Joey, Jeffrey?
Bonamassa? What's your guy's name?
John Bonham?
Never heard of him.
Coming up, Sanders jersey sales. Yes, that's Sanders. Those jerseys, not the one that are hanging in Boulder. That one's retired. Here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Hey, it's Michael Wacha, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
Good morning to you all. Hope you're having a good start to your Tuesday. A little bit of a slop pit out there. Good nap day for Mac. Well, he's probably slept in pretty well, so he's probably good. I kid. bringing up Shedeur Sanders once again, because he just never goes away. The NFL released its top 10 selling jerseys from the 2025 NFL draft. Now, I think this original post says in the NFL... From, again, ML Football, I don't know how much I believe it, but it says, breaking, the NFL says that the Browns quarterback, Shedeur Sanders, is the third highest in rookie jersey sales post-draft. Sanders with a fifth-round pick, the most ever for such late-round pick. It's insane. Now, obviously, we know that a lot of people, you know who he is, whatever, but he is third on the list of top 10 in jersey sales from a rookie drafted. Number one is Travis Hunter. Number two is Cam Ward.
I'm surprised Travis Hunter is number one.
Why?
Well, who the hell's a Jacksonville fan?
Well, these aren't fans.
Yeah, these are sales of jerseys.
I know, but like,
I guess people watch sports.
They
for
do.
The athlete.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
So that's the only thing I defend.
Yeah, they're Hunter fans. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
They watch him win the Heisman. Yeah. They want to see him make history.
I just feel Jacksonville. I'm like,
where's Jackson State?
Mississippi.
Okay. Mississippi. That makes sense. I don't know.
Maybe,
I think Travis Hunter's just like, because he's a gamer. He's got that population.
Yeah.
Right? He's in that wave of kids.
So,
I mean, I would say that's there. So, Cam Ward, number two, just can't win. Like, Cam Ward, I hope he's successful.
Me too.
I really do, because he's not getting any of the publicity that I think that we're all worried about, but we're also not concerned about. Because it's like, all the pressure's on, like, Shedeur Sanders and Abdul Carter and Ashton Jeinty in Vegas. Like, we're not even talking about Jeinty being in Vegas.
Why is Cam Ward number two on that list?
I mean, everybody in Tennessee. I mean, Buck Rising's got to have that jersey.
Like, answer the question, though, in an honest way. Are you willing to invest money in a jersey for Cam Ward?
If you think he is your future at that position, that's a safe jersey to buy. Like, how many people bought a Mahomes jersey year two of Patrick Mahomes?
Oh, I mean, year game two.
Right. Because obviously he didn't play his first year. Yeah. So like there were probably a lot of people that were like, this is the future. I'm buying it. I know it. Good for them.
Great.
But then like year two, like you say game two, after throwing 10 touchdowns in 2 weeks, you're like, okay.
All right.
Probably the number one Christmas item that year in 2018 was a Patrick Mahomes.
No doubt.
In this area.
Right. Of course.
Right.
And then it exploded nationally at that point in time and internationally. But Mahomes, go back and look at the top 10 selling rookie jerseys after the draft. I don't know. Maybe Mahomes was up there, but I would attribute that to a fan base that was starving for any quarterback. They could have drafted, you know, Lou Gotz that year and everybody would have drafted or got his jersey because that's the guy that everybody wanted at a position of need. And so I'm sorry, man, like Cam Ward, Why would you buy that jersey if you're?
I mean, I bet a lot of people bought Vince Young jerseys in Tennessee.
Young was really good at
Vince
Texas,
Young was the best quarterback,
and had like a aura about him coming in.
But to be fair, Cam Ward has aura. Cam Ward, those videos of him and Shedeur Sanders, football
pays me. I do like that.
Most touchdowns thrown in FBS history. He's got some stuff.
Does he, though? Like, it doesn't feel like it.
Yeah, because all we're doing is talking about Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter.
Like, there was no hype on Cam Ward.
Of course not.
Coming out of or into or away from the draft. Like, none.
Because it was swallowed up.
Right? Yeah. It was all Shedeur Sanders conversation, and rightfully so. He's got a great marketer for a father.
We knew Cam Ward where he was going. There's nothing to talk about. He's going to the Titans. What does that say?
Yeah, that's true.
And not only that, there was a blockbuster trade seconds after he was drafted.
It's like, sorry, guys.
But a jersey is not something that's cheap. It's $200 roughly if you get it. And maybe even more if you get the patches and the authenticated one and all that, you know, all that kind of stuff that people spend money on. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're a Titans fan, are you willing to plunk down the $250 today for that guy's jersey, or do you want to see it play out? You know, and you could say that for any rookie.
Well, I can tell you this: I'd rather be buying a Cam Ward jersey than a Brown Shedeur Sanders jersey.
Oh, no question. But still, that's where people are, and that's why when people continue to say, "Why is Shedeur Sanders a topic?" Because America is making Shedeur Sanders a topic. They're going out and buying his jersey. That's not ESPN telling you to buy his jersey or the media feeding you a narrative. That's the general public. Now, the general public, for the most part, is really stupid at times. But you go out there and you spend all this money on the Shedeur Sanders jersey. That tells you there's a lot of interest from a lot of people into what this guy's going to do. Investing in a jersey is a bit much for me. He may not make the team.
Dude, I'm rooting for Cam Ward.
Me too.
The unsung hero. Never talked about, slept on, quiet conversations.
When will the NFL realize Cam Ward is in the NFL? Week 8? Week 9? Like when will the Cam Ward topics overtake the Shedeur Sanders, Aaron Rodgers narrative? That will be the topic until we play a game.
I'll tell you. May 14th.
Until we play a game. It'll still be the schedule release. Will still be, Shedeur Sanders is going back to Denver to play the Broncos. Or Aaron Rodgers is playing, whatever the case may be. Until we play a game, Aaron Rodgers and Shedeur Sanders are still going to be the two biggest stories in the NFL.
Agreed. He's got to play a game and got to do well. And if he doesn't play well, the story will be, Cam Ward sucks.
Yeah, and people will be waiting to say that. Yes. You know, they're waiting for Cam Ward to fail.
Who does the AFC South play, obviously, other than their own division this year? Do we know off the top of our heads?
Because the Chiefs don't play the AFC South.
They play the NFC East. We know that. Obviously, the AFC West. And they have to play the AFC South. Because they played the North last year.
Yep.
They played the East 2 years ago, so they played the South this year.
Mm-hmm. The Chiefs have the AFC South this year, Jacksonville.
So when Cam Ward plays against Patrick Mahomes, there you go. I don't know when that game is. It'll be a noon game, that's for sure.
I hope.
Maybe not. I don't know. Maybe we don't play the AFC South. I'm just talking out of my ears.
Oh, yeah. No, it is. Yeah, I remember because it's at the Titans. And I was like, damn, I wonder.
That's right. Yeah.
So that'll be week one. They play in Brazil on Friday night against the Chargers. That's what we're going out there?
Yeah, we'll have to throw that out there. That's fine.
Okay. Okay. We'll say that's week one.
If it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. If it does, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm not trying to like be hateful. Yeah. I hope you know that. Yeah.
No, I'm just saying,
but week two screams an AFC South opponent at noon on the road.
Yep. No, it's but you'll be at where home. Are the Royals playing?
So I guess week three, because they probably go away then home.
Yeah, right. Because they have the whole week two. They go at home, right? Yeah.
Where are the Royals playing?
I don't know. There's a schedule behind Mac.
Because that does matter. If the Royals are at home that day, the Chiefs are not. I think if I'm not mistaken, if the Chiefs open on the road in Brazil, I think they have to play week two on the road as well, because I think the Royals are away that week. So I don't know that they could be home until week three, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't know when the exact schedule starts, so it's hard for me to tell, but they're away the week of the 12th.
They are away, the Royals are? Okay, so then they could be home for that one.
But then again, like the season could start like September 9th. On that Thursday night.
Well, whatever that labor first Monday in September is what, the second?
Mm-hmm.
The first, so that's Labor Day.
Yep.
So the season will start September 4th.
Yeah, the Royals will be home that week. They're gone the next week.
Right, they're gone the next week, yeah. So you start on the road in Brazil on a Friday night, and then you come home and you have your home opener.
Yeah, why not have it at noon against Cam Ward?
I'm fine with that.
He had to play at Tennessee, so it won't be them. And then some heartbreaking news. I don't know if this was true that I seen you guys yesterday because everybody wants Royals to wear 85. Doesn't look like 85 was available.
Damn. Who wears 85?
I don't know. I see that text. It said, yeah. I've said available numbers to have for rookies to use, and 85 was not on the list.
So I ask, who's wearing 85?
Yeah, we got to change that.
Because if it's Slappy McSlapperson, who the hell cares? That guy's losing his number.
Yeah. I don't know who wears 85 for the Chiefs.
Is it Jody Fortson? You're going to hear from the Fortson Army? That's Jody Fortson's number.
Watch it be like Jared Wiley. That's why nobody knows.
Could be.
He's been out all year and he already has his number.
Yeah, we can change this around.
Who is it?
Anthony Firkser.
Who?
Firkser.
Never heard of him.
You want to go to break after that one?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Firkser's keeping his number, sure. Hey, Anthony, get down here. You're losing your number or your roster spot. You choose.
Because we can make a lot of money if this guy wears your number.
Yeah.
Hello.
Anthony Firkser?
Firkser. You had that on your bingo card. Never heard of him. Coming with inside, start, bench, cut. Brought to you by Jay Southlandtil. You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan. You're home for Kansas City Sports.
Fesco and Dusty. Subscribe and watch the show on YouTube by going to our channel at The Fan 96.5, Kansas City's FM sports station. 96.5 The Fan.